Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph, four lines down. Gemara here is discussing the position of Reish Lakish as it relates to the origins of the sugya, which was Ulam Reish Lakish, because of the limud that comes out of the pasuk that's found in Parshat Tazria, and the Gemara then has questioned whether that is really what Reish Lakish learned from that pasuk. So we're now beginning to find that he has numerous limudim that come out of that pasuk, which is shloshim yom shlosh yamim teshev d'mei tara b'chol kodesh lo tiga l'migdash lo tavo ad melo d'mei tara. So the original limud came from b'chol kodesh lo tiga b'migdash lo tavo ma nigia b'miksat af bia b'migdash b'miksat. The Gemara yesterday already said, is that really true? Because Giyata Rav and Amrei Bo, Dinyan Tameh, Shenagava Kodesh Itmar. That's telling you that there's a law, there's a restriction against the Tameh coming into contact with Kodesh or being Mitameh Kodesh. And that's what he uses the pasuk for, because we have a Machloket, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, as to whether someone who is Tameh, Shenagava Kodesh, is Loker or Inoloker. And Reish Lakish says, B'chol Kodesh Lo Tiga, to teach you that if you touch Kodesh and you bring Tumat to Kodesh, that you actually are Chayav Malkot, and that is the Lav. So then the Gemara says, wait, is that true? Don't we need it for something else? Lazara lo'ochel basar Kodesh. What about the fact that there's an Isur for someone to eat basar Kodesh when they have Tumat Gu? Isn't this the Lav or the source for that? Wait a minute, it doesn't say ochel anywhere in the pasuk. It says lo tiga. Gemara says that that's the hekesh to the mikdash lo tavo. Because mikdash lo tavo is a chiyub karet, so we're looking for something in kodesh that's also a chiyub karet with tuma, and that is a chila. So that teaches you b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Number one is an isur achilat kodesh b'tuma taguf, because of the hekesh to el mikdash lo tavo. Secondly, because it expresses the achila as b'chol kodesh lo tiga, it also teaches you that negia, coming into contact with kodesh, is also a problem. In each of these instances, Rabbi Yochanan has a dissenting opinion. In the first case, he says eino lokeh. By the case of b'chol kodesh lo tiga, says that touching kodesh does not get makot. As far as the isur or the lav associated with someone who has tumat guf, that they were going to be chayav karet if they consume the basar kodesh. Where do we know the lav from? Reish Lakish says it comes from b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Rabbi Yochanan says it comes out of the gezeira shava tumato from biat mikdash. And that's again what we left off with yesterday, which is just like by tumat mikdash, you have a lav that is found in Parshat Naso, and you have a chiyuv karet that is found in Parshat Chukat. The gezeira shava tumato tells you that that same chiyuv karet that you find in Parshat Tzav also has a lav associated with it. And that's where we left off yesterday. Now, Gemara says, Ve'akate, Mibayle letamei, Shachal basar kodesh, lifnei zrika. That pasuk of b'chol kodesh lotiga, Reish Lakish now uses it for a third item, which is that even someone who eats basar kodesh before zrikat adam, he's also chayav malkot, to restrict it. So far, the only thing we've spoken about is, achilat basar, achar zrikat adam. After Zrikat Adam is a case where the Kodesh is already now mutar, someone who is in a proper state to consume it. That means whether it's a Kohen by Kodshei Kodashim or Baalim when it's Kodshim Kalim, if they are Tehorim, they can consume it once Zrikat Adam is done, because that is a prerequisite to be Matir the Basar to Adam, and the Emurim Lamizbeach. So then the Pasuk that tells you your Chayav Mita, we're assuming, is post Zrikat Adam. Because the pasuk says, "The basar sheyga b'chol tamei lo ye'achel ba'esh yisareif v'basar kol tahor yochal basar." Any tahor should eat basar. And then afterwards, the pasuk says, "V'nefesh asher tuchal basar mizevach shlamim asher Hashem v'tumato alav nichrata nefesh shei me'ameha." So that seems to be post zrikat adam, because it contrasts it with a basar kol tahor yochal basar. So when a tahor is allowed to eat basar, then there's nisur karet for the individual to eat it b'tumat aguf. So Reish Lakish says, how do you know that even lifnei zrikat adam, before the basar is mutar to a tahor, how do you know there's a lav against consuming it b'tumat aguf? Ditmar, tamei shachal basar kodesh lifnei zrika, Reish Lakish amar lokeh, Rabbi Yochanan amar, eino lokeh, Reish Lakish amar lokeh, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, lo shna lifnei zrika, lo shna lachar zrika, b'chol kodesh lo tiga, makes no difference whether it's before zrikat adam or after zrikat adam. You don't see any distinction over here. By the karet, you do have a distinction because it's juxtaposed to a situation in which the tahor eats it, or the proper way to eat it, which means that you're in a time period where a tahor could eat it. In that context, it says, if you consume it b'tumat aguf, then you're going to be chayav karet. Over here, there's no context like that. She says, b'chol kodesh lotigah, that you may not eat kodesh, period, when you have tumat aguf. Lo shna lifnei zrika, lo shna la'achar zrika. Yochanan amar, eino lokeh. Rabbi Yochanan says, you don't get makot, k'detani bardala. Atya tumato, tumato. Same zera shava that Rabbi Yochanan used to learn the lav to start with regards to tumat aguf when you're consuming basar kodesh. That same zera shava is going to teach you the limitation or the qualification of when it's true. Tumato, tumato teaches you, just like by the case of tumat aguf, when you enter into the mikdash, you are tameh. So too, when it comes to tumat aguf and eating basar kodesh, you are chayav karet. So those tumato from those two areas teach you, just like there's an azhara by the case of tumat mikdash, so too there's an azhara over here. Chikatev halahu lachar zrika. And that tumato, that gzera shava, as we noted already, is speaking about achar zrikat adam. Because the pasuk in Tzav that gives you karet is where the word tumato appears. We just read it. Nefesh asher tuchal basar mizemach shlamim asher l'ashem v'tumato alav v'nechvata nefesh ahi mea mea. So that tumato is connected to the tumato that's found in Parashat Chukat. Konogea b'meit v'nefesh adam asher yamut v'yitchata v'tishkan Hashem timei v'nechvata nefesh ahi mi'yisrael ki mei niuda lo nuzorak alav tameiya od tumato bo. So you have the tumato from Parashat Chukat, tumato from Parashat Tzav. That's the karet for someone who has tumato guf, eats kodesh. Tumato guf enters into the mikdash. The lav for entering into the mikdash is in Naso, where it says, lo yitamu et machanehem. And then Rabbi Yochanan learned the lav for eating kodesh from that same limud. But that means the limud is based on a gzeres shava that is of the karet and the karet. And even Reish Lakish acknowledges that the karet is only associated with achar zrikat adam, because that's the context of the pasuk in Tzav. But for Rabbi Yochanan, not only is that the context for the karet, that's also the context for the lav itself, because gzeres shava is what generates the lav. For Reish Lakish, he has an independent source for the lav. That independent source can also include not only achar zrikat adam, but even lifnei zrikat adam. And therefore, for lifnei zrikat adam, you get makot. Achar zrikat adam, you get karet, according to Reish Lakish. But for Rabbi Yochanan, because he learns it through the gzeres shava, he has a limitation over here. The Gemara says, "Imkain lemakrab b'kodesh." It should have just started out, "B'kodesh lo tiga." My b'chol kodesh, shmamina tarti. Chol kodesh comes to teach you that it's not just one item, but multiple items. That means now at this point, Reish Lakish is learning three things from this pasuk: b'chol kodesh lo tiga, the juxtaposition to el mikdash lo tavo, teaches you're dealing with a chiyuv karet, and that means it's speaking about someone who is tamei tumat aguf, consuming basar kodesh, because that's the only time you have a chiyuv karet associated with contact with the basar kodesh. That's number one. Number two, he also learns that you have a lav, that you get makot for coming into contact with kodesh when you are tamei. That's because they express the achila as lo tiga. Number three is, not only is this an azhara for someone who consumes basar kodesh when they have tumat aguf, where you'll get karet, which is after zrikat adam, it also is a lav where you'll get malkot for consuming basar kodesh lifnei zrikat adam if you have tumat aguf. That's because it says b'chol kodesh. The word b'chol includes it. From this pasuk, you know, you have three different things. You have a lav for coming into contact with kodesh b'tumat aguf. You have a lav for consuming basar kodesh lifnei zrikat adam b'tumat aguf. And you have an azhara for the karet that is associated with achilat kodeshim b'tumat aguf lachar zrikat adam. Those three things you're going to learn from this pasuk of Burnt Reish Lakish. Gufa tamei she'achal basar kodesh lifnei zrika. So now we're going back to discuss this point, that if you have tumat aguf and you eat basar kodesh before zrikat adam, Reish Lakish amar lokeh, Rabbi Yochanan amar eino lokeh. Reish Lakish says you get malkot because of the pasuk of b'chol kodesh lo tiga. Rabbi Yochanan says there's no malkot because he learns the source for his azhara from the gzer shava of tumato, and that context of that gzer shava is lachar zrikat hadam. Amar Abaye, machloket bitumat aguf. The machloket here is only when we're speaking about the individual is tamei consuming the Bakasar Kodesh that is Tahor. Aval b'tumat basar, when it comes to the actual Kodesh being Tamei, divrei hakol luke. Everybody agrees you're going to get Malkot in that case. Ne'amar, Krah, because the Pasuk says, v'habasar. So here it's referencing to the Pasuk in Tzav, Pasuk that precedes the Pasuk about Tumat Aguf. It says, babasar, asher yiga b'chol tamei, the basar that comes into contact with Tuma, lo ye'achel, it will not be eaten. Ba'esh yisareif, it has to be burnt. Ba'basar kol tahor yochal basar. An individual who's tahor may consume basar that is tahor. So we learn from this, v'habasar, that there is a riboy, there are both itzim ulibana. It comes to teach you that itzim and ulibana, which are not normally eaten, the labane achilaninu, they're not edible items, they're not consumable items. Despite that fact, the Torah includes them. But the Torah includes them for, obviously, is not eating. Because if you eat them, you're doing shaloka derech achila, and you're not going to be chayav. Nobody consumes these items. Nobody eats these items. It's including it for the fact that it can become tamei. With regards to basar, it's easy to understand when you're talking about tumah. You're talking about tumat ochlim. Tumat ochlim is an item that is edible, that has food designation to it, can't be mikabel tuma. Itzim and libona, very hard to know why it would be mikabel tuma. Number one, it's not ochel. Number two is it's not anything inherently that is tameh. So why should it be mikabel tuma? The answer is vabasar. Vabasar is a riboy to say, even items like itzim and libona will be mikabel tuma. The source for it is the fact that the word vabasar is extraneous in the pasuk. That's because if you listen, when I read the pasuk, it says, "Vabasar sheyga b'chol tamei lo yachel ba'esh yisareif v'habasar tohar yochal basar." So the subject of the pasuk is repeated twice. You could have skipped the second "v'habasar" and you would know what the subject of the pasuk was. So the repetition of the word is what gives you the riboy. As Rashi notes for us over here, the chibat kodesh machshartam l'shavinu uchla, because chibat kodesh, which is a concept, the love of Kodesh, meaning that Kodesh has a higher status, unique status vis-a-vis other mundane items. And that is Chibat Kodesh, because of the love of Kodesh, or the Dusha of that which is Kodesh, Machshartam. It gives them a hekshar, the Kabel Tuma, the Shavinu Uchla, to designate them, or give them a status as if they are Ochel. Even though these are inedible items, basar should be no worse than etzim and libona. And if etzim and libona, which are inedible items, are granted a designation as ochel, then basar should be no worse than that. It should be at least call it inedible because of the halachic restriction that surrounds it, which is lifnei zrikat adam. Yes, let's call it that it's an inedible item. But nevertheless, it should be at least through Chibat HaKodesh, given the designation of Ochel, that it can be Mekabel Tuma. That once you have given them the definition of being Basar, then all the dinim that apply to Basar will be captured by other psukim or lavim that apply to Basar. That's what says over here, you see, Mashmashi Drosha Gemura Lo Asmachto. The fact that says, Vafilo Haki Rabinu Kra, that the pasuk concludes, that means that this is a din d'oraita, not a din d'rabbanan. And he says, that's to dismiss Rashi's interpretation of the Gemaras, where he seems to indicate that this din is a din d'rabbanan and not a din d'oraita. Tosfot feels that it's a full-fledged din d'oraita. As Balei Tosfot point out over here, he says, Mehacha nafkalon. This is the source for the fact all over Shas, the Chibat HaKodesh Maksheret. That when you have Chibat Kodesh means, because it's associated with Kedushah, associated with processing in the Mikdash, Korbanot, it has this automatic standing that it can be Mikabel Tuma, despite the fact that if you were outside the Mikdash, these items would not be Mikabel Tuma. Itzim, outside of the Mikdash, are not going to be Mikabel Tuma. Libona, outside the Mikdash, is not going to be Mikabel Tuma. The context of the Mikdash, because of Chibat Kodesh, they are Mikabel Tuma. V'yesh lomar, the Chibat HaKodesh, Mahanyo, L'shave Ochel, Mukshar, Midat Adami L'Ochel, Kagon itzim lebana shu davar av v'kasher kein ochel, aval shvuye hamashkeh ka ochel mukshar lo mahanya chibat kodesh. He says here that this idea of chibat kodesh can take something that is similar to ochel, but it is inedible. So Eitzim and Levona are the choice because of their similarity to Basar and the fact that they are an item that has properties that are similar to Basar. In addition, they are Achilat Mizbeach, something that Mizbeach will concern. The only factor that is missing over here is that they're inedible. So that's why they're close. But what it won't do is Lishvuya Mashkeh Ke'ochel Mukshar. It won't make a liquid into something that is an Ochel Mukshar. Lo mahanya chibat kodesh. That is not able to do it. Tosfos is really referencing to the Gemara in the first paragraph of Psachim, where the Gemara says that the mashkeim of Beit Mikvachaya are not mekabel tumah because tumat mashkeim is only midrabanan. Why don't we say that chibat kodesh elevates them to the point where they can be mekabel tumah? Tosfos could be thinking that mashkeim are not considered to be ochlim because they don't generate the satisfaction that ochel generates. And that's why they don't have a din of tumat ochlim. And they have a separate category of tumat mashkim, and they're not deemed to be an ochel. So if that's a deficit here in the mashkim, then maybe the etzim lobona should be able to help them overcome that problem and make them into something that's not ochel into ochel. And the answer to that is really that there's a distinction here that when it comes to ochlim or things like etzim lobona, the only thing that makes them that they are not mekabel tumah is the fact that they don't have a designation of ochel. On the other hand, mashkim is not the problem that they don't have a designation of ochel. The problem is that there is no tumah associated with the mashkim at all. That the riboy of the pasuk by etzim levona cannot overcome. Again, change something that is no status of tumah to a status of tumah. The only thing you can do is take something that does not have a status of ochel and change it into the status of ochel. Especially with mashkim, which are already designated as an ochel. The problem is that there's just no tumah there. That the din of habasar cannot overcome, or chibat hakodesh cannot override or generate tumah in this case. But then the Bali Tosafot asks the question that you asked, and he says, "B'divrei teimahu minolin da'ata l'rabot itzim ulivona." How do you know the word habasar comes to include itzim ulivona? Dilma dafka l'basar ka'ate. Maybe it's just coming to tell you about basar. D'mahani le chibat kodesh below by heksher. What it's teaching you is that normally ochel requires heksher the kabel tumah. You need a liquid to prime it in order to be mekabel tumah. Maybe the Ba'basar is coming to teach you that you don't need that in this case. You just don't need it to be mukshur the kabel tumah. But still speaking about basar. He says, I still don't know why the Gemara makes this leap that says not only is it basar, but it's anything else. You could have had a chiddush of the word basar without ever going to etzim levona. What's clear, the Tosafot doesn't say this, is that they must have had a mesorah that was the use of the word, or that was what they were after. And that's why they have this limud. So Reb Chaim over here answers that question of the Tosafot by basically saying that the two items are the same thing, which is that if you say that the din of Kodshim is that Eitzim and Levona are Mekabel Tumah, that shows you that we're not working with Tumat Ochlim over here. If you're not working with Tumat Ochlim, then you don't need a Hekshir, the Kabel Tumah. And so in essence, we're actually learning that din out from the Pasuk that you don't need Hekshir Tumah by Kodesh, because Kodesh does not need to be Ochel in order to be Mikabel Tumah. And therefore, the reasoning behind the Gemara's concept of Mechibada Kodesh, that's Makshir, the item to be Mikabel Tumah, even though it was not primed to do so, is because they designate things that are not Ochlim, Ke Ochlim. It means that there's no din of Tumat Ochlim at Kodesh, it's Tumat Kodesh. Whatever is Kodesh can accept Tumah, and then by doing so, you also eliminate the necessity for Hefshir the Kabel Tumah. So B'chaim sees it as being one din, rather than two separate dinim, the way you could separate them apart. The whole reason why you don't need Hekshir the Kabel Tumah here is because we don't deem it to be Tumat Ochlim. You don't deem it to Tumat Ochlim. That's why Yitzim and Levona are included. Now, that is the view of Abaye. Abaye's view is that, even though there's a Machloka Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, with regards to Tumat Adam, when he's eating Basar Kodesh, Lifnei Zrikat Adam, when it comes to an Adam that is Tahor, and the basar is tamei, everybody agrees that your chayav malkot, whether that's lifnei zrika or the acharei zrika, the dam doesn't matter because of the basar. The basar says that anything, even inedible items, are covered by this lav. If inedible items are covered by this lav, certainly basar, which is an edible item, just has a halakhic restriction on it, that it hasn't had zrika, the dam on it, that certainly should be included here. And you should be chayav malkot, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees with the Abaye and says, Machloket b'tumat haguf. Again, the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish with regards to tumat haguf, consuming basar lifnei zrikat damim. Aval b'tumat basar, divrei kol ein lokeh. Tumat basar, everybody agrees lifnei zrikat dam, No malkot. Even Reish Lakish will agree to that. My time up. Gavin delo green and bay, vitumato alav, vinikrata. So because of the juxtaposition of the two psukim, which is the pasuk about tumat pasar is pasuk yutet, and then the pasuk about tumat aguf is pasuk chav, what Rabbi Yochanan says, the juxtaposition of those two psukim says, the context in which we are speaking is achar zrikatam. Because the second pasuk by tumat aguf, eating the pasar, is clearly after Zrikat Tamim, because of the context where it says, Atahor Yochol Kol Basar. The Torah can eat it, the Tamei, the one who's Tamei B'tumat Taguf, cannot eat it. There the context is clearly, Achar Zrikat Tam, and the end of the Pasuk about Tumat Basar is what draws that connection, then certainly the Tumat Basar is also subject to that qualification, that context, which is it is Achar Zrikat Hadam. But then the Gemara says, doesn't Bai have a good point? Ba'mamar, ba'basar, there are both itzim ulevona. What about the fact that ba'basar includes itzim levona? That's a pretty good proof. If you're going to include itzim levona, that you should also include basar tamei, the tnei srikat adam. That's no less than itzim levona. Ba'chamay skinan, kagon shekidsho bikli, denasemi shekirvu kol matirav. So here, he enters a new world. We'll bump into it a little bit later on in the Masechta. But it's really a Mishnah in Mi'ilah, which is that certain items require a matir, which is that they have the ability to then have their status change because they have something that is performed, an action that is performed in order to change that status. For instance, lechem apanim, which is put on the shulchan from week to week. On every Shabbat, they take the bazicha levona from the shulchan, they put them in the mizbeach. Once they are mukrav al mizbeach, that is matir, the lechem apanim, to be eaten by the kohanim. So that is a matir, the bezichei levonah matir. The lechem status changes from being on the shulchan and kodesh that cannot be eaten to being now permitted to be eaten by the kohanim after the hakravat levonah on the mizbeah. And the same thing with regards to a korban. The zrikat adam, prior to the zrikat adam, it's kodesh restricted from being consumed. That's, again, both for Achilat Adam and Achilat Mizbeach. Achar Srikat Adam, that is the matir that allows it now to be consumed by the Balim, the Kohanim, and the Mizbeach. And that is Yabba Matir. The other hand, there's certain items that have no matir because they themselves end up on the Mizbeach, and there's no other item. They're not the remainder or residual of some other item, including Eitzim and Livona. The Livona itself goes on the Mizbeach. The Eitzim themselves go on the Mizbeach. There's nothing else that is matir them. So the question is, what gets them to a position where they can be Mekabel Tumah? Or where's that transition point in which they can be Mekabel Tumah? What he says to you from the Mishnah in Me'ilah is the Tanan. Ko she'esh lo matirim. Once you have something that has matirim, then the status of the object changes, which includes a number of items, things like pigul, tamei, notar, all of these dinim, are only applicable once the shikarvu matirav, once the matir was put on the mizbeach. We've already learned this earlier in the Masechta, that until you have zrikat adam, pigul is not relevant. Even though you've had a machshevet pigul, the machshevet pigul is not locked in place until you've done zrikat adam. Whether you did zrikat adam with a proper machshava or you did it with a machshevet pigul, either way you need what's called karvu matirav. You need the korban to be processed to the point at which it would have been kasher, which means you need the Zrikat Adam. So till you cross over that threshold of Zrikat Adam, the fact that you had a Machshevet Chutz L'Zmano will have no impact on this animal, on this Korban. It's only Nikva, Kepigul, at the time of Zrikat Adam. Similarly, it can only become Notar after the Zrikat Adam. Similarly, it can only become Tamei after Zrikat Adam, or the Din of Tumah. All of these items that apply to these objects are triggered by the matir being put on the mizbeach. In addition, kosher eino matirin, something that does not have a matir, mishekidesh bikli. Once it is put into a kli sharet, then that is what triggers all of these items for it. So for instance, for tumah and for notar, once the etzim and levona are nitkadesh bikli sharet, that starts the clock for them. Starts the clock for notar, also starts the clock as far as them being kadosh and being mekabel tumah. Obviously, pigul is not applicable because pigul is only applicable to an item that has a matir. And so, obviously, these items don't have a matir associated with them, and therefore, pigul is not relevant then. But notar and tamei are relevant by them. That's triggered by they're being nitkadesh by the Kli Sharet. So what Rova is pointing out over here, what the Mishnah in Mi'ilah is saying, is that Eitzim and Labonah, we're not just speaking about Eitzim and Labonah in a vacuum. We're speaking about a very particular instance of Eitzim and Labonah. And that is, Eitzim and Labonah can only be Mekabel Tumah once they've been in a Kli Sharet. Now that Kli Sharet for Eitzim and Labonah is similar to a Matir by a case of a Korban, Zrikat Adam. So the Eitzim and Labonah we're speaking about here are not Eitzim and Labonah before Zrikat Adam. They're Eitzim and Labonah post Zrikat Adam. Because when you put them into a Kli Sharet, that's the equivalent of Zrikat Adam. So Bali Tosafot asks your question. It's one thing to speak about Labonah in a Kli Sharet. Speaking about Eitzim in a Kli Sharet, how do you ever have a manifestation of Eitzim inside of a Kli Sharet? So Rashi says over here, Shekitshu B'Kli, Eitzim. What's the case of Eitzim? Shechata otam v'machtat Kli Sharet me'al ha'mizbeach im gechalim. He took a pan that they usually use for moving the coals off the mizbeach, and he scoops out a bunch of coals and wood that was there from the Eitzim into this pan. V'levonah shekitshu b'bazichim. Levonah is easy, you put them into bazichim that go on the shulchan ha'panim. Tafilu karet v'tumat ha'guf nami ipuhu. They also have this din because of the fact that once you put them into a kli, they gain this status. So now, as far as Labonah is concerned, it means directly going into a kli sharet. And again, what the example I gave was with the lechem apani and the bazichei Labonah. The case of Eitzim, according to Rashi, is you scoop the coals off the mizbeach. The Bali Tosfot are bothered by that and say again, Tema, ma kiddush kli yesh be'eitzim. What kiddush kli is there by Eitzim? And then he says, obekuntres perish ve'ein mashmon. So that doesn't sound right. Because Masechet Tamid Mashma Shechutem in a Muchalot HaPnimiyot. The coals he uses when you scoop them out is from the inner coals that are completely consumed, that are charcoal. They're no longer Eitzim. It doesn't sound like you're scooping wood off the Mizbeach at this point in time. Umeyo Yesh Lomar Lo Fitzhumata Deshin Mairi El Beyoma Kippurim Shechute Gechalim Lektoret. So maybe it's talking about Yom Kippur and not Shumata Deshin, where he's taking the coals for the ktoret. The coals are scooped up in Mizbeach for a number of reasons, one of which is the ktoret. In order to place the ktoret in Mizbeach Zahav, you have to take coals from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, take them into the Kodesh on a daily basis. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol takes them all the way into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, but that's how you get the coals upon which to put the ktoret. Benira, but he thinks, the Kiddush Kli Deitzim, I know, the Mashkli Hula Gizrin, is when he is breaking them down into wood pieces that can go on the Mizbeach. They're splitting the logs of wood in order to put them on the Mizbeach and then smoothing them out so they don't have splinters. Afagav de kordom lav kli sharetu, even though the axe or the pickaxe or whatever you're using to split the logs, in itself is not a kli sharet. Nevertheless, the preparation of the Eitzim is the equivalent of a kli sharet being applied to it, because of the fact that you are both splitting them and then shaving them down, so that gives it a status of as if it was in a kli sharet. So there's a voda that's done to them, gives them the equivalent status of a kli sharet. And that way Rova dismisses the proof of Abaye, because he says we're not just speaking about any Eitzim Olivonah, we're speaking about Eitzim Olivonah that went into a kli sharet, and that's the equivalent of something post Zrikat Adam. That means that it doesn't show you anything about Lifnei Zrikat Adam. Just because Eitzim Labonah Mekabel Tumah doesn't mean that Basar Lifnei Kain will be Mekabel Tumah, or that it's subject to the Lavin that are applicable over here. The Eitzim Labonah are only subject to the Lav over here when they are post Kli Sharet. So do Basar is only going to be subject to the Lav when it's post Zrikat Adam. Given the fact that it's an exclusive Mishnah in Me'ilah, the truth is that Baye can't really argue on the fact that you need the Eitzim and Labonah to end up into a Kli Sharet. So what might be the view of Baye is that there are actually two stages of Kedusha B'Kli with regards to Akometz and Labonah, which is that they first go into a Kli Sharet along with the entire Mincha. Then after they're separated from that Mincha with the Kometz and the Labonah, the Labonah is now placed into a second Kli Sharet. And so what might be the crux of the Machloket here is that Rova thinks that when we're speaking about Eitzim Labonah in a Kli Sharet, that's after the second Kli Sharet, which is the equivalent of Zrikat Adam or Matirim. Whereas for Babaye, they use it as being Eitzim Labonah that went from the first Kli Sharet when they were still with the Mincha. That's Mikadesh them for all the properties that are true in the Mishnah Mi'ilah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're post-matir at that point in time. That's only when they go into the second Kli Sharet. So therefore, he still sees it as being a case of Lifnei Tzrikat Adam. And now the Gemara continues with this Machloket, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, what to do with Psukim. And here we have Itmar. Hamaleh Ivrei Be'emat Me'al Gavim Mizbeach. Someone who puts on the Mizbeach limbs from a non-kosher animal. Rashi gives the example of horses and camels. Rish Lakish Amar Luke, you do that, you're going to get Malkot. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eino Luke. Rabbi Yochanan says you do not get Malkot. Not that he thinks it's mutar, but he says you're not going to get Malkot for it. Rish Lakish Amar Luke, Tehora in Tmei'a Lo. He says that the Pasuk tells you that you can put on to the Mizbeach Be'emot Tehorot, but you cannot put on to the Mizbeach as a Be'emot Tehmeh. V'lav Abba Michlala say, when you have a Isser, it's called an Isser Asay, it is a derivation. The Torah tells you to do something. Well, if you do what the Torah tells you to do, then you've done the right thing. Implicit in that, or what you can derive from that, is that you're not supposed to do the other thing. And in the Pasuk, in the beginning of Vayikra Aleph, it tells you what you're supposed to put on the Mizbeach. It says, Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'amar lehem, Adam ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem min ha'beibah, min ha'bakar, u'min ha'tzon takrivu et korbanchem. So it tells you, you know what goes on the Mizbeach? Bakar Vitzon. That also tells you that not only is it that Bakar Vitzon go on the Mizbeach, that also tells you that Sus and Gamal don't go on the Mizbeach. And what Rish Lakish says is, even though this is a negative derivation from a positive statement in the Torah, nevertheless it has a din of Malkot. Elav, Abba Michlal Asay, Lokin Elav. And a negative derivation out of a positive statement, you do get Malkot for. Yochan Amar, Ein Lokim Elav. Lav Abba Michlal Asay. Asay, and ain't looking alav. This is the principle that we have. This is Rabbi Yochanan. In a second, Rish Lakish will also have this principle, which is where we have all over the Torah, that alav, a negative precept that derives from a positive statement, meaning that it's a derived lav, not a stated lav, does not get malkot. It has the same status as an asay. An asay you don't get malkot for when you violate an asay. So moti, Rabbi Yirmiya, how can you say that it's not an asay? We have a pasuk which says, Ota tochelu. When it comes to Parshat Shmini, the kosher animals that you're allowed to eat, it says over there, Kol mafreset parsa, v'shosad sheset parasot malad gira be'ema, ota tochelu. That you're allowed to eat. So you would have thought, v'lo be'ema t'me'a, and not a non-kosher animal. The lava ba miklal asay, asay. Now it's explicit in the Braita. That's not the Gemara saying this, this is the Braita saying it, that a lava ba miklal asay is an asay. So the restriction against eating non-kosher animals from this pasuk, the derivation is only in Isra Seh. The reason the Braita says that is because then the pasuk afterwards says, Achadze lo tochlu. These you may not eat. So why does it have to tell you lo tochlu? It already told you what you can eat. You would have derived from that that you can't eat other items. Only things with split hooves and that are chewing their cud should be eaten. Well, that means something that doesn't have those qualifications, it can't be eaten. So why come along and tell me, don't eat these items? Because the assay would have only been an Isser assay. It would have only been an assay. Torah comes to add a lav to that to tell you not only is there an Isser assay, there's also a lav, and you're right, the same thing is applicable by Snapir Vekaskeset. Even though the pasuk says, Kol, Sheishlo Snapir Vekaskeset, you eat, it says also anything that does not have Snapir Vekaskeset, don't eat. Why does it have to tell you don't eat it? Because it would only be an Isser assay. It comes along to give you a lav in addition to that. But you see from the bright that clearly is, a lav, Abba Michlal Asay, Asay, has a status of a positive commandment. That means how does Rish Lakish get Malkot out of a positive statement? Ella, Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiyah, Bar Tachlifa, Asabrocha. I'll explain to you. This is the Machloket between them. Not only do you have the wrong Machloket, you have their positions reversed, which is, Be'evrei Be'emat Me'ah. When it comes to the limbs of a non-kosher animal that put on his back, Dukuli Amalo Plige. Nobody argues over there that's an Isur Asay. And there are no malkot. Ki plige v'chaya. The question is, when it comes to a kosher animal, that is not a behemah, but rather is a chaya. Be'ochi itmar. And this is what the machloket was. B'yochan amar over basay. If you put a kosher chaya on the mizbeach, you violate a mitzvat asay. Rish Lakish amar, ain't over velo klum. Rish Lakish says, you're not in violation of anything. You put a chaya kasheira on the mizbeach, you're not chaya of anything. Yochanan Amar over basay behema in chaya lo. Is midayek that out of the pasuk, because it says in the pasuk that you may put a behema, a bakar and so on the mizbeach. That implies that you may not put a chaya on the mizbeach. Isra say, So he doesn't say you're chayav makot, he just says you're in violation of the asay. Eshlagash amar, inu avar ala b'lo klum, how the mitzvah. That is the way you're supposed to do it. That doesn't mean the other item is precluded. It just means this is what the Torah prefers. This is what the Torah wants you to do. This is the chatchila. You do the other thing, you won't be yotzei whatever is required of you, but it doesn't mean that you are restricted or violated anything when you do that. The way Rashi formulates it, he says here, Behema mitzvah lakrif, behema is a mitzvah but a mizbeach, chaya reshut, chaya is optional. Umiyu tmeya vade lo, but if you bring a chaya tmeya, clearly it would not be accepted because of the din of mimashke Yisrael. That which goes on the mizbeach has to be something that can be consumed normally by klal Yisrael or kasher the Yisrael. Only something that's kasher the Yisrael can end up on the mizbeach. So a chaya torah, which is kshera for Yisrael to eat, that is where we're speaking about a chaya that can go on the mizbeach. But a chayat meyah clearly would not be included under this reshut. That's a good question. As to what the actual status of the korban is, when you say reshut, reshut has two meanings in the Gemara. It's actually argued by the case, like for instance, where the Gemara says, tefillat arvit reshut. Do you say tefillat arvit reshut means it's completely optional? Or is tefillat arvit reshut in the context of a mitzvah? Which means that if you have a mitzvah to do, then mitzvah takes precedence. But vis-a-vis other mundane items, it's not an optional item, it just means do it. It can be nitcheh, because you have other things to do, or a mitzvah that goes before it. Those two definitions of reshut, the Tosafot brings in the Gemara and Brachot, also you could ask the same question over here. When you say it's reshut, does that mean that reshut means it's completely optional, and has no meaning? You're allowed to do it, you won't get bichayah, but it has no bearing. Or does reshut mean that there's a better way to do it? There's something that is much better, and it's the mitzvah way, but if you do this, you still get credit, and there still be something positive. You could make that same distinction over here as to what the status would be, according to Reish Lakish, with regards to a reshut. So Rashi clearly views it that Beima is a mitzvah lakriv, v'chaya reshut, that it's an option, it's optional, you can't bring it if you so choose. The Karen Ora, on the other hand, is a much more terse formulation of it, which is, l'chatchila, you have to bring a Beima, b'tiavad, if you bring a chaya, it will be acceptable. But unlike Rashi, it's not optional. It's not a reshut. It means that the proper way to do it is with a behema. If you happen to do it with a chaya, then we're going to accept it. And you can see in the Shita Mikubez at Odalit towards the end, that he actually discusses and notes that Rashi is making that distinction. That Rashi explained over here, mitzvah means that's what you do in order to gain the mitzvah. But reshut is optional. And he doesn't explain that mitzvah means the chatchila and chaya is bidyabad, because that would be explaining the asay as not being an iser asay, but an asay mamash. He explained it, the chatchila and bidyabad, that means that the asay applies to both of them, it just gives preferential treatment to bakar v'tzom. So that's why Rashi didn't want to explain that way, according to the Shita Mekubetzet, but the Karen Arad does explain it that way, not necessarily saying that chaya is bidyabad, but saying the chatchila beima, and it's not a reshut by chaya, it says if you do bring the chaya, it will be kshera, but not that it's completely optional. And then based on the Shita Mekubetzet's earlier question, no dalit, why isn't the chaya considered to be like a balat mum, a nekeva, that is hufresha, the korban olah? Korban olah only comes from a zachar. If you bring a nekeva as an olah, it automatically is classified as a balat mum. So why don't you say the same thing here? A chaya is a baal mum. So the Shita Mekubetzet gives an answer saying that you can only have something become a baal mum when it's so close to what the real korban is that it can have a status of a baal mum of that category. But you're so far away, like a chaya, it doesn't even get a status of a baal mum, which is a point that is then argued by the Achronim. And some of the Achronim in that argument seem to indicate that when we say over here that a chaya is reshut, it means that if you do it in a manner that doesn't really become a korban, you put it on like etzim, then it is considered to be okay. What you see from that is that it's really not an acceptable korban at all, that it is a waiver that if you do it in a certain manner, we won't consider it to be a violation. Moti robo, ilu ne'amar korban la'shem be'ma. So here is a bright that it says, if you look at that pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, had it just mentioned the word be'ma, hayiti omer, I would have said, chaya bichlal beima. Then I would have said that chaya is included, subsumed under the word beima. That the pasuk says the barrel b'nei siyom martel ha'em adam ki yakim mikem korban Hashem mina beima. So he had just stopped there and said, Mina Beima, I would have thought Beima subsumes within it the word Chaya, Kinyan Shneamar, because of the Pasuk in Re'ei, which says, Zota Beima, Shetokhelu, Shor, Sek Savim, Viseizim, Ayal, Utsvi, Viachmor, Vakov, Dishon, Utovizamer. In that list, you have a mix of Beimot and Chayot. Despite the fact that they're Chayot in the list, the header, the koteret for that Pasuk is Zota Beima. That shows you that subsumed under the category of Beima is both Beima and Chaya. So had the Pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra just written the word Beima, it would have assumed Beima and Chaya. Then, when it comes afterwards and says, Talmud Omar, Bakar with Vatzon, Mina Bakar, Umina Tzon, Takrivu et Korban Chem, once it specifies or details what it is, Bakar Vatzon Amar Tilecha, Velo Chaya, comes to teach you Bakar Vatzon, yes, Chaya lo. So that is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. There's an Easter Asay here because of the words Bakar Betzon. But also, here the statement of the brightness. Yochol lo yavi. Think that maybe you don't have to bring it. It may be kasher. If you brought it, nevertheless, it still would be kasher. Again, subject to what we said before, whether kasher just means it's okay, or kasher means that it really will be credited like a korban. Ha? Lamazed domen. What is this similar to? The Talmid Shamar lo Rabo, Haveli Chitim, his master. Or his Rebbe says to him, bring me wheat. Ve'evilo chitim v'se'orim. He brought him both wheat and barley. She'enu kema'avir al-dvarav. He's not violating what he asked him for, his command. Ela mosif al-dvarav v'kasher. He's just adding on. It's just a bonus. He's putting a cherry on top. So the Torah tells you, bring korbanot from behemot. So now you bring korbanot from behemot. You want to bring from chayot also. All right, the Torah doesn't require that of you, but you're not in violation. If you bring behemot and chayot, then you're not in violation of the Torah. You're just adding on. You're just enhancing that which the Torah said. And as Tosva points out, even in our case, it's a little different because he's only bringing a chaya. He's not bringing a beima. Nevertheless, kevin demir tzono may be a korban ein zeh mavir shari talab d'dato. Because he's bringing it of his own volition, that is considered to be a korban where he's not violating the word of a Kodesh Baruch Hu because he knows he's bringing it of his own volition and not what the Torah commanded him. That's why it's similar to the case where he brings them both chitim and se'orim. So that's one way to look at it. But Talmud Omar, Bakar Vatzon. The other hand, once it says Bakar Vatzon, as Rashi points out, there is trade Bakar Vatzon, Ktivei Otam, that the Batzgar and Tzon are written twice in the Psukim, once in the Pasuk that's found in Pasuk Bet, and then again later in Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Yud, it's repeated again, Mina Bakar Mina Tzon. And that duplication says that it's not only a Lemitzvah, but rather that it is the akev, which is that chaya is not just a reshut, but rather it is pasul. The bakar etzon amarticha v'lo chaya. It comes to teach you that bakar etzon yes, chaya no. Halamazed domeh. What is this similar to? L'tamid shamar lo rabo al tavili elachitim. Only bring for me wheat. Ve'vilo chitim v'seorim. And now he brings him wheat and barley. She'enu k'mosiva d'varav elu k'mavira d'varav. U'pasul. Now it's not like you did what he asked you to do and then you did more. No, you did what he asked you to do, but then you violated what he asked you because he specified he only wanted these items. So you see from the Braita, clearly there's a limitation of what can be brought in the Mizbeach, and Chaya is precluded, and therefore these items would be psulim. Tiyufta, the Reish Lakish, Tiyufta. This is a strong refutation of that position of Reish Lakish, because here clearly the Braita is explicitly stating that Chaya is not just a reshut, that Chaya is Pasul, the Gamre, and it may not be put on the Mizbeach at all. Now, this might be a derivation of something that's not really discussed in the Gemara as much as it's discussed in the Tosefta, which is, what is the din of Chayot when it comes to a Bama? Are Chayot Kshirot allowed to be put on a Bama? And there is a Tosefta that allows for Chayot to be put on a Bama, and that might be part of what the derivatives of that situation are here. Which is that if you believe that Behemot Kshirot and Chayot Kshirot can be put on a Bama, once you come into the Mikdash has limitations, many limitations that don't apply to a Bama. One of those limitations is a Behema. How do you view that limitation of Behema in the Mikdash? Do you view that as being Behema exclusively? Mean that, yes, on the Bama it was Behema and Chaya, now it's only Behema. Chaya is gone, totally. Or do you view it that the Torah gives preference to Behema, saying that, yeah, Behema and Chaya were on the Bama. Now in the Mikdash, the primary avodah, what's being done there is going to be done with Behema. Chaya, okay, we had manifestations of that in the past, and so if you bring in the Mikdash, we'll let it go. We'll allow it to happen, but not that that's the primary way of avodah. So again, that might be behind what is being said here by Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is they're looking and saying, well, Chaya did have application at some point. what is its application now once you reach the Mikdash or in the context of the Mikdash? Right now, this is the question that we actually noted when we read the Mishnah before, which is by Mini Rish Lakish, Mi Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish asked the following of Rabbi Yochanan, Pasul, Mausu Yaseh Shirayim. When it comes to a Pasul engaging in Avoda in the Mikdash, what is the status when he does the Avoda, and does he make the items that he left behind into Shirayim? So Rashi formulates this over here, Pasul, Mishu Pasul Avoda. Someone who is Pasul Avoda means a Zar or a Kohen, who for whatever reason is precluded at this point in time from doing Avoda. Shirayim. Rashi says, Im Kibel, Vizerak. If he did Kabbalat Adam, and then did Zrikat Adam, Ma'u Shiachzor Kasher Vikabel Vizrok. What is the din with regards to whether a Kasher now can go back and do Kabbalat Adam again, and do Zrikat Adam again, be Kasher a Korban, and make the Korban Kasher? How damaging is what they did? It's clear whatever they did not accomplish what you needed in terms of the Korban. But did they do so much damage that it cannot be rectified? Or do they do nothing? Because their psalim view what they did as being meaningless. And in that context, you can go back now and take the dam and redo it again, and it'll be fine. So there are a number of things that come out of this. Tosafot over here already says, Rashi in particular spoke about Kabbalat Adam and Zrikat Adam. That is because he says, B'pasul shekibel lo mibayit. Says, if you're talking about a pasul that did Kabbalat Adam, and that was the end of the story, there's no question. That's our Mishnah. That's not Hayaksora Kasher v'yikabel. The Mishnah says that if you did Kabbalat Adam with a pasul, Kasher goes back and does Kabbalat Adam, and you can go on from there. Ella, the question really revolves around Pasul Shizarak Mibayle. So you look at Raj, Raj says he did Kabbalat Adam and then did Zrika. He didn't stop at Kabbalat Adam, he said he went on and did Zrikat Adam, and that is the main issue over here. Because Zrikat Adam is a Koveya. It is a significant part of the Avoda to the point where it has impact, possibly even if a Pasul does it. All the other items are preparatory stages to the peak moment of Zrikat Adam. If Zrikat Adam is done improperly, how damaging is that to the Korban? That's the nature of the question. And now, the Bali Tosfot note what we already noted on the Mishnah, which is, Miu, the mandamar shalom bimkomo, kimkomo domi. And when you put the dam in the wrong place, it's as if you put the dam in the right place. Mukhafel, daviadin bizaraka pasul, sheachzora kasher veikabel. It's mukhaf earlier, so does it, that that doesn't change the fact that just because he put it in the wrong place, it's considered if you put it in the right place, it's not going to change anything. And kasher can go back and do kabbalat adam. Tosfot is running into a problem that he already tried to deal with on the Mishnah, which is we had the sugya earlier on Chavav, we had the Mishnah, and then we had this sugya. How do you reconcile between them? We already said in the sugya, the person who says, Shalom bimkomo is kimkomo dami, makes it sound there that a kasher can go back and do kabbalat adam. So why is Rish Lakish asking the question here at all? We already know that from back on the sugya on Chavav and Aleph. How do you deal with Rish Lakish's question in the context of a gemara earlier that seems to have already addressed this issue and said you can go back and do it again? So the Bali Tosfot first bring from the Rabbeinu Ephraim that our gemara, the question here, is about a totally different issue. Rabbeinu Ephraim Ephraish, the Hach Bayo, is about Kol Psulim Shalu Lo Yerdu. Any Pasul or item that goes up in the Mizbech doesn't come down. That's what the question of Rish Lakish is asking over here. Rabbeinu Ephraim Ephraish, the Hach Bayo, Metitin Kol Psulim Shalu Lo Yerdu Kait, Lachatkilo Lo Yalu. Can the remaining blood be put on the yisod of Mizbeach? Meaning that the question is, if the Mizbeach is kolate psulim, then when a pasul puts the dam in Mizbeach, how successful is that in being kolate? The question is, how do you treat the shirayim? Do you pour the shirayim and treat them like regular shirayim on the yisod of Mizbeach? Even though the korban was never successful, but imalu, lo yerdu. So once you're in that world, we allow you to finish it up. Even though it's a pasul korban. Or do we say we throw out the shirayim, the blood, because you did absolutely nothing? It was meaningless, the act that you took over here. B'kasha l'peirush zeh, David le'meimer, ma'ashi asu shirayim o dichui. Question should have been, is it shirayim or is it dichui? Question should have a different wording in it if that was the nature of the question. And then he brings a question from a different sugya, where he has to try to answer on behalf of the Rabbeinu Ephraim to explain the gemara over here. And then he says in the end, Rashi's peirush doesn't have the problem with the other sugya, but it does have the problem of then reconciling it with the sugya before, which is then what do you do with the Gemara on Chavav? And that's why the Bali Tosfot, if you remember back on Chavav, and the Shittu Mikubetz we saw in the Mishnah, indicated that the Pasul that we were talking about over there was a Tameh. And that's because Tuma Hutra Bitzibur in other places, and a Tameh has an elevated status of being able to do something where it'll be qualified. And that's why over there, the pasul that we're speaking about was a tamei. That's a different issue than what we're speaking about here, which is a regular pasul. And that's what questions are being asked over here. So by differentiating the cases, then you can explain why that which was found on Chavav is not necessarily an answer to what you have over here. As now the Gemara says, Amrlei, Eino says Shiraim, Elo Chutzlis Mano, Bechutzlim Komo, Holo Meratze, the Pigulo. The only thing that creates Shiraim in the blood where it cannot be rectified at that point in time is if you have a problematic Korban, that is Pigul, or Chutzlim Komo, if you had improper Machshavot, but you completed whatever was afterwards by doing this Rikat Adam, so yes, the Korban is disqualified or invalid because of the fact that it was Pigul or Chutzlim Komo, but nevertheless, since Karev Matirav was processed properly, then that's Shiraim, and you can't rectify it. So that's the end of the game. Once you've done a Makshava, Pigul, or Chutzlim Kamal, it's Lo Yeratzeh, Lo Yechashev, you can't do anything to rectify it at that point. Anything else, you can rectify it after that point. Rav Zvid Matnei Hochi. Rav Zvid says the question was posed this way. Bo'amine Rish Lokim Rabbi Yochanan. Kos, Pasul, Mao Shiaseh Shiraim. If you have a Kos that is Pasul, does it make it Shiraim? Amrele, Sul Gufei, my Sphirla. What do you think about a pasul in general? I mean, if a pasul person does the avodah, what do you think? E pasul mishave shirayim. If someone who is pasul makes it into shirayim, kos pasul nami mishave shirayim. So too, a kos pasul will also make it into shirayim. Kos pasul means you did kabbalat to dam in a kos, and then it went outside the azara. So now you have a kos pasul, that dam can be used with zrikat dam. Can you go back and do another kabbalat to dam in order to then continue with the process into a regular kosher korban by doing another kabbalat adam from that same animal? If someone who's pasul processing it doesn't make it into shirayim, kos pasul nami lo mishavi shirayim. So too, a kos pasul will not make it into shirayim. So according to the way that Rav Zvid has it, Rav Yochanan's answer to him was, whatever you think by pasul will also be applicable by kos pasul. The two have the same din, which is, whatever you think by a person who's pasul, if they make the damage to shirayim and the korban's over, you can't do anything to rectify it. Then so do by a kos pasul. It's over. If you think that a pasul has such little meaning in the context of doing this, that you can go afterwards and process the korban after they've done this, then say they're the kos pasul, you continue to process. What's been obvious all along, and I've mentioned it a number of times, the Baal Tosfot say over here, didn't we say before that you have to do kabbalat adam with all the dam? Why here are we having extra dam that's left over? How do you do another kabbalat adam? That's the mitzvah. We said before, lechatchila, you're supposed to do a kabbalat kol adam. But if you do kabbalat adam with part of the dam, that's enough. If you have dam and nefesh, sufficient dam to go on the mizbeach, that's enough to be kosher. And that's, these cases are going to be cases where they took a cup of the blood and there was still more blood or more dam and nefesh left. Right? Rav Yirmi Yami Difti Manihochi. So here's a third version. It's not Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan anymore, but it's rather Abai Mi Rabba. Abai, Minei Abai Mi Rabba, Abai Query of Rabba. Kos, Moshe said, Chaviro Dichoy, O Shirayim. What is the deal with regards to the Kos that would make its friend, meaning the leftover dam, into Dichoy, O Shirayim? So that's why the Baal Tosfot said, the language, the way Rabbi Ephraim wanted to formulate the question, should have been with this type of language, not the language of Masuch Pasul Yaseh Shirayim. He says, Amalei, Plukta de Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Rabbonat. That's a Makog de Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon Rabbonat, the Tanya. The Malahu Omer, it says above by the Korban Chatat of the Nasi, Damo Yishpoch. The blood will be put on Yisod HaMizbeach. The Matu Omer, by Korban Chatat HaYachid, it says, Bet Kol Dama Yishpoch. All of its blood will be put on Yisod HaMizbeach. This is the leftover blood after you've done Zrikat Adam. So one pasuk says you put the blood on the Yisod. The other one says you put all the blood onto the Yisod. So why is there a difference in the language by the Korban Chatat of the Nasi, Seir HaNasi, versus the Korban Chatat HaYachid that is written afterwards? Minai in the Chatat, Shikibel Dama Arba Akosot. How do we know that a Chatat, where you did Kabbalat Adam in four different cups, so then what he did was, you have to go onto the four corners of Mizbeach and do matnot dam there. So he took four cups, filled each one of the four cups. Then from each one of those cups, he puts on one of the karnot. So he uses all four cups, and he puts on one on each of the karnot of Mizbeach. Then in each cup, you have residual dam that's left there. How do I know that you take that residual blood from each of the cups and you pour it on the Yisod of Mizbeach? Kamalomar bet kol dama yishpoch. All the blood goes on Mizbeach. Yochol natan arba matanot mikos echad. What happens if you collected the blood in four kosot? Then you only use one of those kosot to do the four matnot on the top of the Mizbeach. So that one, clearly the dam in that cup is shirayim. What about the other three cups? What is their status? Hey, kulan mishpachim liyisod. You would think that all of them are shirayim and they should go to the yisod mizbeach. Tamalomer ve'et damo. Its blood goes on the yisod mizbeach. Not kol dama ha ketzad. So what happens here? Hu nishpach liyisod. That one cup, the residual blood in it, goes onto the yisod mizbeach. Ve'ein nishpachim liyama. And they go into the yama. The yama is a water channel that ran through the mikdash, which is basically the sewer line, or the equivalent of a sewer line. So you dump it into there, and it goes out to Gebe Hinnom, flows out into the valley outside of the Mikdash. Bilazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minayin lechatat, shekibel dama b'arba'a kusot, v'tan dalet matanot nikosachat, shukulam nishpachim liyusot. So Bilazar Rabbi Shimon argues and says, if you kabel the dam in four different cups, then you only use one of those cups to put the matanot on the mizbeach. How do you know the residual three still go to the yisod mizbeach? Tamalomar vet kol dama yishpok. All the blood goes on the yisod mizbeach. So he uses that to teach you that even in this instance, it all goes to yisod mizbeach. Vakti vet domo yishpok. What is he going to do with that domo yishpok? Which says that only some of the dam, only the dam goes on the yisod, not all the dam. Rabashi yavle mute shirayim shibetzavar beima. That comes to tell you that that which is left in the neck of the animal, even though it's dam nefesh, that's not classified as shirayim that needs to go into the yisod mizbeach. He moves what is excluded and what is included another step over, and therefore they have a machloket. When you have four cups and you only use one of the cups, what is the status of the residual three? According to Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, the residual three are all shirayim, and they have to be put on the yisod mizbeach. According to the Chachamim, the other three are nothing, and they go into the yama. And that will be the answer to Abaye's query of Rabbah. Kos, Mashiach said, chamirot dachuy or shirayim. You have two kosot, and you use one of the kosot. How does it impact on the other cup? How does it impact, number one, if it leaves the area, because it's yotzei? How does it impact on the other cup? And number two is, how does it impact if it was used? What is, happens to the dam in the other cup? So that's what it means, dachoy o shirayim. Kibel a kasher, venatan le pasul. So if a kasher is mekabel the dam, and then he hands it over to a pasul, v'tzricha, and we need all these cases. There are a number of cases that are enumerated in the Mishnah where something pasul got involved. For instance, he had kabbalat adam and then spilled it on the ground. He had kabbalat adam in a kli kodesh, switched over to a kli chol. He had kabbalat adam by a kohen, handed over to a pasul. We had all of these different instances over there. And the Gemara says v'tzricha. Tiyish meninim pasul, hava amina my pasul. What I have thought, pasul means a tameh. The chazi labudat sibur. Who is ra'oi to do avet tzibor because of tuma, either hushah b'tzibor, dechuyah b'tzibor. But when you have that situation, tuma b'tzibor, tmeim are allowed to engage in that avoda. So there are times where his avoda has impact. Aval, small, you put it into your left hand, lo, maybe that would not be the case. And you wouldn't be able to do a takana by putting it back into your right hand. Be ashminan, small, if you only told me about small, about putting it into your left hand, where the left hand is used on Yom Kippur, because when the Kohen Gadol goes lifnai v'lifnim, he has to bring in the ktoret and the coals, and he has to use both hands in order to do the avoda. That means that at some point in the Mikdash, the left hand does have a purpose in the avoda. Aval, kli chol, lo. But when it comes to a utensil that's not kodesh, where it never has usage in the world of kodesh, maybe that would be problematic to the point that you couldn't rectify the situation afterward. If you're only talking about the din of klichol, they have the ability to become clay kodesh. The clay chol is always a potential kli kodesh or kli sharet because it could be elevated. Bahana, the left hand is never going to be elevated. The prisoner of Stamei is never going to be elevated where it's going to be kasher. Emalo, I would have thought maybe they cannot be rectified. Tzricha, that's why we need all of those cases. So the Gemara asks over here, v'lave dichoy. V'lave dichoy. Why, when you go through an interim stage where the dam is found in a status that is pasul, why isn't that a classic case of dichoy, which is v'nireh? It was ra'oy to go on the mizbeach, it was ra'oy to have a vodah done by it. Now it's in a stage or a status where that's not true. It's in his left hand, he can't perform a vodah. It's now outside the world of what is allowed to be processed. If it's put into a kli chol, right now it can't be utilized towards the korban. So why in those instances do we not say dichoy, which is something that was ra'oy, ready, primed, available to go on the mizbeach and to be processed as a korban, now went through a stage or a period of time in which it was disqualified and invalid. Then when you bring it back to a valid state, why shouldn't that be a case of dichoy? And that should then preclude your ability to continue on or to rectify the situation. Now the Balei Tosfot would say that the question only revolves around when you put it into a kli chol, or the blood spilled on the ground, or you possibly put it into your left hand, but not about the case where you handed it over to a pasul. Because when you hand it over to pasul, Tosfot says, like we said in the Gemara earlier, he's doing a maisa itzdaba. The pasul can just stand there and do nothing. He'd be the equivalent of an eben, like a stone on the ground. You put down the item and then pick it up. That's not a pasul in the Qur'an, that's not dikhwe. So it says that the fact that a pasul can act like an inanimate object and be a maisa itzdaba, like the Gemara said earlier, that clearly is not dikhwe. Smiat dikhwe is things that happen when you spill the blood on the ground after you had kabbalat adam, where you put it into a kli chol, put it into your left hand. Those are items where you're in a state or a status where there's a problem now where the korban cannot continue to be processed in this state or where it is right now. Although the Kiran Ora says that he thinks the question is even more narrow, because otherwise the Gemara should have said above in the Tzrichuta that there's a distinction with regards to dikhoi. And he thinks the question of the Gemara here about dikhoi is only where it falls on the ground, because over there it's distinct from the other cases where you've in some way lost control over the item. And we'll see further on that that has meaning here in terms of control, and that's the nature of the Gemara's question. When it falls on the ground, have you lost the shlitat adam, the control of the person over the item, to the point where it should be classified as dikhoi? So the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Ocha Amar Revir Miyami Difti Mishmei de Rava Amani. Who's the author of our Mishnah? Chanana Mitzrihu, Delele Dikhuyin. Chanana Mitzrihu believes that dikhoi does not apply. There's no concept of dikhoi. There's no concept that if you went invalid temporarily, that that somehow invalidates you completely and you cannot return to a position where you can continue on as a kosher korban. Even though, truthfully, the Gemara gave a different answer back on Ted Bubba Madalev when it dealt with this issue of dikhoi, over here the Gemara is using the answer of Chanana Mitzri and Rav Ashi upcoming to give a different view or different answer as to why it's not classified as dikhoi over here. The Tanya, we have a braita, Chanana Mitzri Omer, Afilu Dam Bakos, Maybe chaviro umizaveg lo. That even if the dam of the seir and asim ifnim is already in the cup, they did the kabbalat dam, nevertheless, you can bring them a pair and continue on with the avoda. Now the reason that Chanana Mitzri says afilo is because he's the third of three opinions that are found in the Gemara and Yoma. Gemara and Yoma is speaking about the seir mishtaleach and the seir and asim ifnim, in which you have to do hagrala. You have to do a lottery. We also know that they have to be brought together. Question is, at one point in time, does one disqualify the other? So there are actually three different opinions there. There's one opinion there that even while they're still alive, that there is dikhoi. If something happens to one of the animals while they're still alive, then that other animal goes away and has to be put out to graze. It's no longer a valid korban. So you have the seir naseh b'fnim, the seir mishtaleach. They did the agrala, they did the lottery over them, and they know which one is which. And then the seir mishtaleach is waiting to go out and be taken out, and it dies. If that Seir Mishtaleach dies, the Seir Naseh Bifnim becomes Pasul, according to the one who believes that there is Dikhoi by Balei Chayim. That there's a concept of Dikhoi even by animals that are alive, even by a Korban, before it's shefted. That's one opinion over there. The second opinion is, in that case, you could just bring a replacement, or you could do a lottery and bring a replacement. But, if you already did Kabbalat Adam, or it's post the Shechita, once the animal is already made into Kodesh, by having Shechita in the middle of that process, if at that point the Seir HaZazel dies, then the Korban HaSanias Bifnim becomes Dechoy, and it can no longer be used, and you have to do a new Agrala and start over again. Chanana Mitzri is the most kitzoni, extreme position, where he says, even if you already have done Kabbalat Adam, and the Adam sitting in your coast in your hand, there is no Dechoy over there, just bring a new animal to be the Seir HaZazel, you match it up, and you'll continue on with the Avoda. That you can create the pair even at that point in time. There's no concept of dikhoi. That's exactly what the Gemara is saying. Why in our Mishnah there's no concept of dikhoi? Because it's attributed to Chanana Mitzri, who doesn't think there's a concept of dikhoi. Ramashi Amar, Ramashi gives a different answer, because we don't necessarily want to set up our Mishnah like Chanana Mitzri, since the Lacha is not like Chanana Mitzri, and there is dikhoi by Kodesh, by Korbanot. So Ramashi says, Kosh biyado lo avi dikhoi. Anything that is in your control is not called dikhoi. If it's out of your control, that's dikhoi. But if you can control it, it's not dikhoi. In our cases in the Mishnah, these are all things within your purview, your control. You put it in your left hand, you can hand it back to your right hand. You hand it over to a pasul, you can take it back from the pasul, even though Tosafot said that wasn't a question in our case. Falls on the floor, you can pick it up and put it back in and continue on. If it goes into a kli chol, You can pour it back into a Kli Kodesh. Since it's in your control, there's no concept of dichui, which is not true by the case of Seir Mishtaleach, because even though it died, and now you could replace it, Rashi claims over here, Ki mi amar sheyitein lo seir acher. Who says you can get another seir? Who says you can be able to procure another seir in order to be the Seir Mishtaleach? And therefore, it's not in his total control. It's not under his shlita. Even though it's possible he could rectify it, it's still not completely under his control. And that's why over there it would be deemed to be dichui. Now the Balei Tosfot then asks, well, we have other examples of cases where it seems to be that's in your control, yet it's not called dichui. For instance, someone who is mimir hadat, someone who leaves the faith. And we said before that that's dichui for korban. That with korban now is disqualified because this person went ois bala korban. He can't be the bala korban. He can't bring the korban during the state when he's the bamarat dat. Tosfot says, why not? It's called Shibiyado Lasot. He has a choice to do tshuva or not to do tshuva. So the Balei Tosfot say, Ein ze karoi biyado, kerin den dato lachzor. It's not within his control, because at this point in time he has no intent of coming back, or he has no premonitions about changing his mind. So given that, it is a disqualification that's no longer in his control. He's made a decision that put him beyond the point of where he can return. The fact that he does return later is really a change of mind or a change of heart. At this point in time, it's not biyado to return. Then he brings other items. And by kisui adam, where the wind blows over it, we consider that to be dichui, even though you could uncover it at this point, because the kisal ruach nitzkalah came into a mitzvah of atela dichui. In the case of kisui adam, there's no mitzvah to uncover it, to recover it, to redo it. Once it's covered, it's done. And that's why there's dichui over there. Since there's no mitzvah, you remove it, it's not biyado, it's not classified as biyado. As opposed to here, the Balei Tosfot here say a huge chiddush, which is lo dami lo ocha de mitzvah lo svo. If you spill the blood on the ground, there's a mitzvah for you to pick it up and continue on with it in order to make the korban a kosher korban. So not only is it kasher if you continue on, Tosfot says there's a mitzvah to do it so they don't bring the korban to be a pasul korban. Given that it's a mitzvah, then it's biyado to rectify it. In the case where there's no mitzvah, there's no necessity, and then it's not called biyado to rectify it. But the Karen Ora doesn't love that explanation of Rashi, because what happens if the two Seirim are right there and ready to be used? There are other Achronim that want to suggest that it has to be in control of the person who is the Makrib, the Kohen, and the Seirim that are there have other parties that are involved, including the authority of the Gizbar and others in the Mikdash. But the Karen Ora wants to give a different definition or explanation as to what is considered to be Biyado Lasot, and he says the following. He says is that what means that Kol Shebiyado Latakein is that nothing has changed about the status of the dam or the item in this interim stage. Whatever happened is a neutral event. And then if you then want to reinstate it and bring it back, that's because it's biyado, it's considered as if it never left position of being in a status that was ra'oi. On the other hand, if during that period of time there's a change in the designation of the item, for instance, it becomes or gets a shame pasul, then it's not considered to be mash biyado lasot. So the example the Balei Tosfot bring is an hadas on sukkah that has too many berries on it. Even though you could fix it by taking the berries off, that's still considered to be dichui because on Yom Tov you're precluded from taking them off. The Karen Ora doesn't need that. The Karen Ora says since it became a hadas pasul, that's no longer classified as mash biyado l'takein. That's not something that you could fix at this point in time. And same would be true of the adam emir dato or the case where the wind blew over the dam. All of these give it a shame soul or change the status of the item to a point at which even if you have the ability to undo that, it will not bring it back to its former status. The only time it does that is where the interim stage is not impactful. Like when it falls on the ground, there the dam is not dam pasul, it's just dam that fell on the ground. And at that point you can then be yado to fix it or bring it back, and that's why you can continue on with the avoda. Amar Rav Shia Kavate the Rav Ashi Mistabro. Rav Shaya says that Rav Ashi's view of what who's the author of our Mishnah, the attribution of Mishnah makes sense. Manchmai Leit Dichuyin. Who's the one that tells us that there is a concept of Dichuy? Rav Yehuda. It's not. Vodam Rav Yehuda. Nishpach Adam. Yamut HaMishtaleach. If you spill the blood of the Seir, that's Naseh Bifnim, then the Seir Mishtaleach is sent out to be put to death. Meit HaMishtaleach. If the Mishtaleach dies while they're processing the Seir Naseh Bifnim, Yishpoch Adam, spill the blood out. So you see that there is a concept of dichui Rabbi Yehuda. B'shamin and lei, damar kosh biyado, lo avi dichui. He's also the author of the position that if you're in control of something, it's not called dichui. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Echad Hayah Mimaleh Midama Tarovet, that he fills up one kos of all the blood that is there on the floor, Mizorkos Rukachat Keneged Yisod. You throw one matnat dam on the Mizbeah Keneged Yisod. What he's referencing to here is the processing of the Korban HaPesach. Korban HaPesach was brought, and there were a large number of animals that were being processed that day for the Korban HaPesach, and it's possible that some of the dam that was taken, or Kabbalah dam was done, was spilled on the ground. So what Rabbi Yehuda suggests is, at the end of the day, that you take a scoop of all the dam that's on the floor, and do one matnat dam to the negative Mizbeach, which is what is required for a Korban HaPesach. You just need what the matan dam on the Mizbeach, the negative that you sowed. And you do that as a safety, just to make sure that everything that was processed there that day ended up on the Mizbeach. Shma mina, kosh biyado, lo vidichoy. Since he has the capacity to pick up the dam, when it's spilled, you don't call it dichoy when it's spilled. And that's why he can pick it up again, scoop it up again, and do, go on and process the Korban. Shma mina, from that you see that Rabbi Yehuda must be the author of our Mishnah here, because he has both opinions. He has the concept of dichoy, but there's an exception to the rule of dichoy, which is he allows you then to put it on the Mizbeach after it's spilled by the cases of the Korbanei HaPesach. All right, we're going to stop here, five lines from the bottom of Lamed Daled Amud Bet, because the Gemara now is going to go into detail discussing that position of Rabbi Yehuda with regards to the Korban HaPesach, and it goes all the way to the Mishnah on tomorrow's daf.